In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show, kicking off hour two right now. Appreciate David Lake joining us from InsideTheU.com, talking Miami football as they have now had, just a couple of spring practices, I guess. And they are ready for life with Tate Martell. So I appreciate David Lake coming on, walking us through everything going on with the program, especially the defense, as Manny Diaz has to learn to hand over control, because as a defensive coordinator, you get to drive that part of it. A lot of times, it's the head coach who's going to give you the keys to that thing and say, well, now I'm a head coach. I have to be involved in offense and all facets of this program. Manny Diaz is that. That's one of the things that you have to see for any head coach, not just him, is how able is he, and it's not just a lot of times willing. How able can he force himself to really give over control? Because every time, for how many years has Manny Diaz walked on a football field, and everything about defense has always been up to him? Now it still is by extension. But as head coach, you can't do everything that you did as a coordinator, not on just that one side of the ball, on half the field. So interesting to see how he is going to transform himself, his coaching personality as well. So I always appreciate David coming on. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Chris Walsh is going to join us. Does a great job, Bama Central, talking Alabama football as they're on the practice field as well. And then bottom of this hour, Jeff Cameron from Tallahassee, as the Florida State Seminoles hit the practice field again after taking their spring break interruption to their 15 practices. They are back out on the practice field. I believe yesterday they did that. So we'll catch up with Jeff Cameron bottom of this hour. Right now, let's get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline: FAU quarterback Chris Robinson suspended for spring practice after, quote, internal matter. FAU will go through spring practice without its starting quarterback. That is what head coach Lane Kiffin told reporters Wednesday night, that former Oklahoma transfer Chris Robinson was suspended for all of spring practice for, quote, an internal matter and will not be with the team. We really don't discuss details, but it is what it is. We're always trying to help kids grow, mature, and hold kids to a high standard. Keep in mind that this is not the first time that the former – he was a four-star recruit out there for Lincoln Riley and Bob Stoops, actually, at Oklahoma. Big-time recruit, and he was supposed to be actually the guy who was in line behind Baker Mayfield. But he was dismissed by the Sooners after, I want to say, a couple of violations of team rules. And remember, also, he got arrested for public intoxication as an 18-year-old. And then last year, after leaving Oklahoma and going to FAU – he got slapped with a day-to-day suspension last spring after he violated team rules down at FAU. He can play, though. Remember that he threw for about 2,500 yards and 12 touchdowns. He was the co-USA, Conference USA Freshman of the Year. That means that the Owls only have one scholarship quarterback for spring. But the real story here is this is a talented kid that can play at this level. He's just been his own worst enemy to this point. Headline: Nevada running back coach takes head coaching job in Mississippi at a Mississippi high school. That's an unusual move. That's David White, who you're coaching at a Division I college. You're on the staff, not an off-field analyst or anything. You're on the field, recruiting, coaching, doing all of that, and he's now taking a head coaching job with a Mississippi high school. So Nevada looking for a new running backs coach, and they're halfway through spring practice as well. Consider yourself up to date. As I said, Alabama, they've hit the practice field just like everybody else. We're going to take a quick break, come back and talk with our good friend Chris Walsh, get up to date with everything involving the Tide.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids, or enjoying tennis or golf again, call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me.
We are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it is all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, even though right now, as a matter of fact, for this morning, for this afternoon, I know that a lot of the headlines you're going to see around college sports is going to be hoops. Vanderbilt firing its head coach. You pull an over in the SEC, you're going to get fired. Especially, and I've even talked about that with football. You know, Houston Nutt, you go 0-8 in the SEC, you're going to get fired. It either has to be your first year in the conference or your last year in the conference if you go over in football. It's not supposed to be possible to do that in basketball, because you know what an over is in the SEC in basketball? 0-18. That's what Vanderbilt did this year. So that's why they're getting a new coach. And word around the campfire is that that's happening in Tuscaloosa as well with the basketball program over there with Avery Johnson on his way out the door. But Again, I care about spring practice a little bit more than I do even basketball right now, because that is our DNA. I want to head out now, talk to a good friend of the program. Been glad to get to know him and have him on with his website as well. It is Christopher Walsh joining us again from Bama Central. Chris, welcome back. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. Is that report right? Alabama's going to have a new basketball coach?
That's what we're reporting, so it better be right.
You know, it's funny. The only reason I want to mention this is I've talked about that concept before, cash your ticket when you get your ticket. And yesterday I came on, Chris, and I opened the show, as a matter of fact, of saying I just watched Greg Marshall coaching in a high school gym in the first round of the NIT in Greenville, South Carolina. He was one of those names that should have cashed that ticket when he had the chance 4 or 5 years ago. Why did it not work with Avery Johnson at Alabama?
You know, that's a really good question. And that's kind of why I think there's been so much speculation about what could happen and what should happen. And, you know, you're talking about a team that at one point this season was 10-3, had beaten Kentucky, was looking great, and then it just completely collapsed. And it's kind of interesting because, well, the bottom line is Alabama didn't improve. In fact, they regressed. And that's what I think ultimately cost Avery, because the state of the program was better, recruiting was better, but it was another year of being on the bubble. And I think Alabama fans would have been fine with that, because that's really what the expectation was. You know, this team was picked, I think, to finish ninth in the conference. But the way that they just, you know, just kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, the NIT game, I mean, they're a one seed playing an eight, and they looked awful.
Yeah,
you know,
it really looked like one of those bowl games where it finishes 31-3 and you realize these were pretty even teams, but one of them had no interest in being there. And that's, I think, like the ultimate sin that a lot of coaches can't come back from is when your team's out there without a lot of effort and a lot of interest. And so if that report is right, Alabama moves on with a new head coach with the men's basketball team. As far as football, there's been a lot of conversation about Najee Harris. I want to move beyond him, because I think I know enough about him, about what he's capable of in 2019. What about Brian Robinson? Because that's been the guy that for the past couple of years, I keep being told every August, hey, keep your eyes on Brian Robinson. I promise you, this is a big-time recruit.
Yeah, he's a solid running back. He's a local guy. He's one of those, you know, can-do-everything kind of running backs. They actually, toyed with using him a little bit as a fullback, and did that a little bit to get him on the field a little bit more last year. But, you know, it's the Alabama, you know, depth chart at that position was just loaded for, you know, the first couple of years. And I mean, last year they couldn't get Damien Harris the ball enough, and he was the starter. So yeah, he's one of those guys. He's got all the tools. He looks really good. And I think a lot of people are going to learn a lot about him this year. Although I really think Najee Harris is going to have a huge season for the Crimson Tide.
Well, now I got to ask you then, can I trust Josh Jacobs as a pro scout? Because the other day at Pro Day, he was talking about Brian Robinson, and he said that Robinson is 230 and he runs a 4.4. Is Josh Jacobs telling the truth as far as you know?
I don't know about the 4.4 part, but the 230 I definitely believe.
what about
–
Go ahead.
He's stocky. He's definitely a full size running back.
What about the next guy, Jerome Ford? Because we know that even having two running backs at the top of the chart like that, that's not enough for Nick Saban. That's not the approach there. Jerome Ford, might he be in line to get some run if Trey Sanders doesn't show up and actually win the Heisman like he predicted?
Yeah, I think Ford is definitely going to be in the mix this year. You know, they like to go with 2, 3, 4 running backs kind of thing. And it really takes most guys a year to really get it, you know, the system down and everything. I mean, Derrick Henry, I mean, the guy wins the Heisman Trophy. Well, you go back and remember his first game when he got to Alabama, I think they were playing West Virginia, and they put him in for a series, and he just looked lost, and you could tell. And it took, through the season and to get into bowl practices, and then he looked great. You know, it just kind of clicked for him. So I think Ford is definitely going to be in the mix this year. For the freshmen, I wouldn't rule them out, but I wouldn't be ready to hand out any trophies yet.
If we flip around to defense, Terrell Lewis, if we go back to, you know, summer before camp started, there was talk about him being a top 15, top 20 pick in the NFL draft. Obviously, just an awful injury for him, the ACL. And I know he's still got a pretty elaborate knee brace on his right leg. What's the bird's eye on Terrell Lewis coming back from the injury?
He is back practicing with the team. He was really close to being ready for the playoff last year, and they decided just to, you know, kind of ease off a little bit and have him get ready for the spring. He looks great. I mean, just you just watch him, and it's just, you know, he's one of those guys. This word is so overused, it's beast. But you look at him on a practice field, or in a game, and it's just holy cow. You know, it's just the physical goods are there. He's going to be a starter this year. He and Anthony Jennings are going to be the two outside mm-hmm. linebackers, and they look great.
You know, I've told the story before. If you remember Ernie Sims, the Florida State linebacker, when I showed up at a practice there in Tallahassee when he was, you know, playing at FSU, somebody asked, he was a freshman. He's like, how did he look? And I was like, he looked like somebody drew him. He looked like a comic book superhero, you know, with the muscles on top of the muscles. And it was until Dylan Moses the next time I saw that. He's now got not only a little bit of a position switch, but it's also a leadership and role switch for him as well. What do you see for Dylan Moses in 2019?
Yeah, he's going to be the guy in the middle. He's going to be the play caller, the guy who makes all the adjustments. It's going to be his unit, and they can't afford to lose him for an injury or anything. They are relying heavily on him because with Mac Wilson leaving, there's nobody else with any experience in the interior linebacker spots. So they're kind of like trying to get the pecking order with the next five guys. But Dylan, it's you know, he was a guy who was a Butkus finalist last year. He's going to be one of the favorites this year.
Well, Chris, I got to tell you, I love the website. It's just fantastic information. I would tell everybody to follow you on Twitter at Bama Central. Visit the website as well. It is thorough, detailed, accurate information. I always love having you on. Thank you, man.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, Christopher Walsh again from Bama Central. And what he's talking about with Dylan Moses is, you know, that was a kid that, you know, we always start assigning their future to them before we've, in most cases, ever even seen them in person. And Dylan Moses is that eighth grader that made news when he was offered a scholarship first by LSU because he was a Baton Rouge kid who then eventually wound up, you know, playing at IMG. But Dylan Moses was an eighth grader getting the offer from LSU, and then the story came out that Nick Saban did, well, the same thing, and you get a scholarship offer. And what he probably didn't know is Dylan Moses' father's an attorney, and he leaned forward. He's like, I want to make sure I understand this. We have a meeting of the minds. You just offered my kid a scholarship. Is that accurate? I would like you to be on the record. And eventually we know how it turned out that he was going to be a running back or a linebacker or maybe even a rush in, and we can blow him up and do all kinds of things with him. Well, he's not only a linebacker, but he ain't outside anymore. He is the inside linebacker, and he's going to be making all the calls. Understand that this is simply checking more boxes for his NFL future. At Alabama, same as everybody, they pitch kids based on what we can do for you for your future. Every kid thinks he's good enough to make the NFL. It's, are you going to help me? Or are you going to hold me back? And so moving him inside, you know, specifically with Dylan Moses, what are we talking about? We're talking about a guy that, you know, regardless of whatever role he works into on defense as an NFL rookie, you know that he's going to be covering kicks and he's going to be doing an unbelievable job at it. You know that he has the speed to play outside. You know that he has the size now. Now he has the size and toughness to make a go in the middle. And when he's going to have an entire season of making the calls for Alabama, I mean, that's – there you go. That's Rashawn Evans. That's Reuben Foster. That's Mack Wilson. Now it's Dylan Moses. So he goes to Alabama, and the funny thing is he's just like every other kid. He knows I can play at the next level, whether it's hoops, baseball, you know, whatever. He knows he can play at the next level. I'm going to Alabama because of I've got the offer, and here's the coaching, and here's their pedigree, and there's Courtney Upshaw and C.J. Mosley, Donta Hightower, and everybody. So that's why I'm going there. Well, what did we just talk about with Chris? They're having to fire the basketball coach get a new guy or lady in there, because Alabama basketball, they were predicted to finish ninth, and that's about where they were. They were right on the expectations. So if it is anything beyond what my pro prospects are, why do you get only the best players to go to Tuscaloosa to play football, but you can't seem to get any of the best players to go there to play basketball? It's the easiest recruiting insight I could ever give a program. You're pitching, oh, well, we have this graduate program and this number of kids get their diplomas and we have the School of Journalism over there and look how easy it is to get around campus. That doesn't sell kids. Because if it did, it would sell them regardless of sport. Kentucky, they get nothing but the best basketball players in America. They don't get any of the best football players in America, even Josh Allen. Because when he signed with Kentucky, he wasn't Josh Allen that's about to go second or fourth or fifth overall in the NFL draft. Schools waste their time in almost every case. Occasionally you get a guy's like, I want to be a vet, so I'm going to go to Georgia because they got a great vet school. Or I'm going to go to Auburn because they got a great vet school. Occasionally you get that. I'm going to be an engineer, so I'm going to Georgia Tech or Virginia Tech or Texas Tech or wherever else because I'm going to be an engineer. Occasionally you get that. Do you know what you get in almost every other case? What's the biggest program that gave me an offer? Because I think that's my springboard to the pros. And if it was anything more complicated than that, then Kentucky would be getting the same football players they got in basketball, wouldn't they? Same school, and you're pitching the school. Same community, and you're pitching the community. Same fan base, you're pitching the fan base. Same everything. Except at Alabama and Kentucky, you get the perfect examples of one school get the best and brightest, and everybody wants the five stars, but they're all going to Tuscaloosa. In one sport, they are. And in Kentucky, it's the exact opposite. I promise you, any recruiting coordinator, you start leaving out the pitch of the school and the community and the fans and everything else. It's about how can we put you in the pros.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-262-4182. 800-262-4182. That's 800-262-4182.
This is an important announcement. If you're between 50 and 85 and worried about your loved ones, you can still get affordable life insurance for peace of mind.
My life insurance coverage is guaranteed, and I was not required to get a medical exam.
I had high blood pressure and diabetes, and I got my coverage with one telephone call. No exam necessary.
I'm a smoker, and I wanted to take care of my family. I called to get my life insurance and my affairs in order. I wanted to do the right thing.
Call Final Expense No Exam Insurance. Your rates are guaranteed and will never increase.
I called and learned that this insurance cannot be canceled, even if you get sick or gain weight.
And there are no restrictions on how my beneficiaries use the money when I'm gone.
Don't wait until it's too late. Call now and get peace of mind for you and your family. Call 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks. Which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Back to the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, all week, all year. It is all college football, dealing it out across 47 stations in the South, I believe, is the total now. And want to welcome on a good friend of ours from 97.9 ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. It is Jeff Cameron from the Jeff Cameron Show. Jeff, welcome. How you doing today?
Doing well, Chuck. Outside of a little spring cold here. Other than that, I'm fine.
I want to start with a positive, and I'll say that that would be the basketball team. Can we say Vermont scrappy yesterday? Is that a fair description? And that's a good win for Florida State.
I think so. Anytime a team makes 16 threes against you and you still win, that was double their season average for Vermont. Everything they threw in, including stuff from the parking lot, went in, and Florida State's depth and I think veteran leadership really showed up there. They never really panicked, and you saw – Terrence Mann and guys like that step up and eventually wear down Vermont. But, yeah, that was a scrappy bunch.
If we move to football, I guess the reason I needed to start with basketball good news is because essentially there's no news coming out of spring practice. And I text every day. I call folks. I go online and look for post-spring practice reports. And other than like some scattered comments from players post practice, there's not a whole lot of information coming out after Willie Taggart's second spring practice got underway.
No, and you know what? It's interesting too, because on the one hand, you know, I kind of get it. Obviously, you got to buckle down and find your way to a much better season than you had a year ago, and you can't deal with distractions, and you have to make sure things are right, and you have new coaches on staff. On the other hand, when you're not offering up information and you're really stonewalling everybody who covers the team, nobody's really allowed out there. People who work for Seminoles.com can, but they're not going to say anything because they can't. So basically what you have is, just like you mentioned, just droplets of water here and there, a little something that Randy Clements is doing a good job with the offensive line. They're looking a little bit better. They're trying different combinations. You hear that James Blackman has been a very good leader so far. He is clearly the number one at quarterback. You hear a kid like Babyon Johnson, who they've been waiting on forever, has emerged and looks like he'll be the starting center this year, and that he's taken hold of that leadership role, which is a good thing to hear. But without being able to see it on a daily basis, you really don't know what to believe and what not to believe. You know, last year at this time, everybody couldn't wait to see, you know, the Gulf Coast offense and what this was going to be, lethal simplicity, and the spring game sold out and everybody was there, and then the season happened. So nobody's really buying it until you see it in a game, and that won't happen until Boise State.
If we look at the biggest, I'm going to call it news, I guess. It was a conversation. The biggest piece of off-field news for Florida State right now, Jim Leavitt says that he might be interested in an off-field role, an analyst job with Willie Taggart. Mm-hmm. Is anybody in Tallahassee interested in hiring Jim Leavitt?
Well, I think certainly he could only help if he was in that capacity. Those two go way back and have a good relationship. I don't know that they're going to discuss it openly, because Willie was asked about it not once but twice, and he immediately said, oh, Jim and I go back. We're good friends. It was good to see him. He's been hanging around a little bit, but there are no plans in the works. So if they are planning it, Chuck, we don't know. They're not confirming it. Obviously, that's the way of the modern staff, right? You know, we see what Nick Saban does at Alabama, and so many others have copied, and seems to be the blueprint. You get as many sharp minds as possible and experiences as possible in your camp. It's not a bad thing. So if he's got a year between jobs and he wants to do it, I think certainly Willie Taggart might be wise to do it, although you could create a dynamic where you already have a defensive coordinator and you bring in another guy who's in that same role, and, you know, you wonder about friction. But at the same time, certainly Jim's been around a long time.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think last year, you know, when Florida State's had its toughest times recently, you know, sometimes it's been injuries, sometimes it's been X's and O's, just flat out, you know, coaching questions, et cetera. But I think that there's also been some questions about talent on defense. I know that you and I have talked over and over about the linebacker spot. But I think they're finally running out of the woods with some of the recruiting they've been doing and some of the kids that have been developing, that one sore spot, there may actually be some sunshine for the Noles this year.
I think you're right. And a lot of people are excited about the linebackers and also the recruiting they're doing, and not just this past year, but if you look, it's way out in front. When you're in a rebuild prospect, you know, and when you're in the midst of something like that, you want to see that you've been able to bring in some guys. They got a four-star guy, Keyshawn Green, coming in as well. Yep. Steven Dix was signed on. So they're getting excited about who they have. I know that a lot of the young guys are guys that last year people thought at some point, let's just make the move to these guys. Let's just go to these guys, even though they're green. And the staff really wouldn't do it. And now this is the year where you would expect to see a lot of those guys. So, and also, I think they're going to have Nasruddin playing linebacker, which he's better suited for because he can't cover. So he's more kind of a star, and they're going to probably see if they can put some weight on him. But some of those guys are emerging. I know they're excited about that.
Leonard Warner is a guy that, like everybody, I mean, comes in as a big recruit, but he started to grow up a little bit. I'm talking physically mature, get thick, mm-hmm. fill out some, and was still only a kid last year. I think he's kind of anonymous throughout the ACC and certainly throughout America. Tell me what's possible for Leonard Warner.
Well, Leonard Warner is right now, he's penciled in to be a starter. He is supposed to be the guy at middle linebacker. And Leonard Warner is a guy that when they talk about the defense and they talk about the linebackers as being greatly improved, he's just the first name that gets mentioned. And again, without being able to see you exactly what's happening in practice on a daily basis right now, you have to take their word for it. But it doesn't take long before he's mentioned. So I think he's a guy that, you know, again, they're looking at him and Amari Gaynor and guys like that that I think they're excited about. You know, you have a senior and Josh Brown and some other guys, but yeah, it's the youth that they're all talking about right now.
Let's flip it over to offense, and really the one position I want to get your download on is wide receiver, because this is a little different. I mean, I look in the wide receiver group, and almost every guy, not Gavin, but almost every guy that I'm expecting to really make an impact this year, freshman, sophomore, I mean, it's just young kids. You mentioned Helton. There's Treshawn Harrison, obviously Tamorian Terry, who kind of burst on the scene last year. It's a good looking young athletic group, but DJ Matthews as well. Good looking young group out there.
Yeah, you mentioned the guys, but it's Tamorian Terry who could have the biggest impact on the field this year, game to game, if they can keep James Blackman upright. And that's why everybody focuses on Randy Clements higher on the offensive line. Can they aspire to be average or even just something slightly below average that would allow for his talents to really be on display? Because he has been unguardable up to this point, and that's true of after every practice. You'll hear them say that nobody can cover him right now, and he's a physical freak. But you're right, if you're going beyond that, you're excited about an Ontario Wilson, and you're excited about a Warren Thompson and a Treshawn Harrison, and you're excited about, obviously, DJ Matthews continues to rise. Keyshawn Helton, I think you said, these are all guys, honestly, doesn't lack for explosive, game-changing ability at the wide receiver position. They're a little thin at running back, but what's there is very talented. If you're talking about Anthony Grant, when they get Laybourne back, and obviously Cam Akers, it's just a matter of whether or not they can block. Last year they had guys that everybody, every now and then, got a glimpse of, and you'd say, well, there's talent here, but they can't distribute the ball to them because the play's over before it starts.
You mentioned DJ Matthews there. He averaged like 15 yards a punt return last season. I assume that that's good enough. That really was kind of the one. I mean, if you're looking on special teams for the Noles last year, you know, take what you can get. Ooh. And I think him returning punts, that's got to be the one position that's locked up on special teams, right?
I would think. And, yeah, he's a really elusive guy, make you miss in a phone booth type guy. At the same time, it's funny, you bring up special teams and this entire fan base recoils, because outside of that, there was nothing positive about Florida State special teams, whether that was returning kicks, covering kicks, getting lined up, having enough people on the field, blocking in the back. I mean, it was a nightmare, and it was the one thing that was assumed would be better, because at the end of Jimbo Fisher's time, special teams was a nightmare as well, and it didn't get better, and so that was alarming. Obviously, they made a change in the coaching staff because of it. So I think, honestly, at this point, you know, you have him circled, obviously, in the punt return game, but everything else about special teams has to be drastically better.
Wrapping up with my good friend Jeff Cameron from the Jeff Cameron Show. Follow him on Twitter at @JCameronShow. You can hear him in Tallahassee, 97.9 ESPN Radio down yonder. You mentioned Laybourne, and I wanted to get the latest on him as he comes back from a pretty serious injury. What's his status, and is this preemptive keeping him out, or like how functional is he right now?
Really functional. Looks like he could play, but they won't let him. Yeah. He's running full speed. And they basically said, look, we know what you can do. We don't need you in the spring. We've got enough bodies. Why don't you take a break? He is chomping at the bit to get out there. He is way ahead of schedule. He has told everybody that would listen that he feels like he could suit up and play right now. But they're being smart. They're being cautious because he's electrifying. And what limited action he saw last year, you could see that. He turned heads. So they want him ready to go for the fall, and they're just holding him back. But right now, he's way ahead of schedule. He says to reporters he's at 100%. The team says, pretty close. But we won't know until he gets hit, so they're going to hold off until we get into fall.
All right, not setting you up for a softball here as we exit, but you mentioned the spring game sold out and the crowd and just the electricity, the feel around it a year ago. Obviously, it's not going to be that. The fan base is a wounded fan base. But what is the general feel around them right now as we're just a couple of weeks away from spring game?
It's dead, Chuck. It's dead, man. They've got people feel they were burned. They're jaded. At least the vocal fan base, the ones that respond, whether it be social media or into a radio show like mine, but even just generally out in the public, we do a lot of remotes, obviously, watch parties, things like that. And you talk to people about the football program, they kind of just sigh, roll their eyes. We'll see. You know, the number one thing you hear is, I really like Willie Taggart, but that was an unmitigated disaster last year. And then, so there's always a but, ... And so I really think it's a show and prove, wait and see type of thing. I think there will be a minimal amount of people at that spring game. I don't suspect that they'll come out of that with a ton of energy. They got to play well on the field in games in the fall. And in everybody you talk to says, yeah, great, spring could look good. I do want to see Bryle's system. I do want to see how Randy Clements has affected the offensive line. But I really won't know what to think until they win a game over in Jacksonville against Boise State.
Well, Jeff, I always appreciate you coming on and giving us the latest on the Noles program. Thank you again, brother.
Thanks, Chuck. Be well, man.
All right, Jeff Cameron again from 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee as the Seminoles get ready for spring practice. We will take a break, come back with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Debt reduction depends on creditors' balances and payments, client testimonials, or dramatizations.
If you owe $10,000 in credit card debt and your minimum payments siphon away your paycheck each month, you can get debt-free in less time than you think.
I've paid $800 a month for the past 3 years and haven't changed the balance on my credit card.
Get debt-free now.
has a program to reduce your debt, stop the harassing phone calls, avoid financial ruin, and settle for less than you owe.
I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
You're pre-approved for our special hardship program if you owe $10,000 or more. Call Get Debt Free now to resolve your debt once and for all.
My family no longer has 20 years of payments ahead of us at 20% interest.
There's no fees until you see results. Make one monthly program payment and free up your cash. Call 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933.
GEICO presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
A slippery bathroom floor can result in expensive hospital bills. So today, I'll show you how to cushion a serious fall by filling your bathroom with thousands of plastic balls. Just nail a piece of plywood across the doorway and dump in 2,000 multicolored plastic balls.
You could try to protect yourself with a bathroom full of plastic balls, or you could get liability coverage through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Visit GEICO.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in five states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at alexandershannaralaw.com.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor, because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home. Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Welcome back to the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. Appreciate all the guests coming in today. Jeff Cameron, who we just heard from 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, talking Noles as they are hitting the practice field. Back out there, I believe it was yesterday, actually. They had had a little bit of a break for spring, and then with classes getting back in, then the kids are back on the practice field as they're ramping up for Willie Taggart's second spring game. And as Jeff told us, there's a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude from the Florida State fan base at this point. Chris Walsh joined us earlier in hour two, and then also bottom of hour one from InsideTheU.com. David Lake talking Miami as they are in spring practice with Manny Diaz. Not only the first time running a Miami practice, but Manny Diaz, first time running a spring practice, like sitting at the end of the table, not the side of the table. That's how I always put it when we're talking about coaches. And it is different because when you walk in as an assistant coach, for instance, there are 99 things every day you don't have to do as an assistant coach, because you walk in and you sit on the side of the table. And most of the time when you talk, it's when you're answering a question from the head coach. When you walk in as a head coach, you sit down at the end of the table and you suddenly realize there are like 9 or 10 guys, and they're all staring at you. And they're waiting for you to talk. And so you got to drive that chip. So that's what Manny Diaz is doing for the first time ever down in Coral Gables. So we certainly appreciate David Lake from Inside the U joining us. Dan Matthews is going to pop in just a couple of minutes. But right now, let's wrap this up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Question for Tennessee fans, and I want to give you some credit today. I really want to give you some credit. But there is a lingering question that I have for Tennessee Vols fans. Is it actually better with Jeremy Pruitt, or did you just really not like the old guy at all? Because if you go back and look at Butch Jones, and by the way, see, I'm giving you credit. I want to say that this is not just you being a crazy fan base and the Greg Schiano stuff and the John Curry this and the Phil Fulmer that, and now we got our guy in Jeremy Pruitt, which, Lord knows, you may actually have your guy in Jeremy Pruitt. I think you do. So I'm on your side. But I'm wondering if the attitude that Tennessee fans have towards Jeremy Pruitt is a byproduct of actual keen insight to where he has the program versus I really was tired of Butch Jones. And I think that it is a combination of both. But the problem is, if I'm wrong about that, I'm certain that it skews towards I just wanted someone other than Butch Jones. Because as much as they didn't want Greg Schiano, I promise you, given a choice between Schiano or keeping Butch Jones, I know where the UT fan base would have gone. They were winning more or less with Butch Jones. They just got to the point where they were absolutely done with him. So the number of wins wasn't going to be the deciding factor anymore. So again, partial credit to the Vols fan base for recognizing bricks and mortar. And that's my opinion of what Jeremy Pruitt is doing on Rocky Top. Bricks and mortar versus shiny and sparkly. I'm fairly certain that's what's happened, that the Vols fan base finally saw through what everything that was Butch Jones to, okay, now we've got a guy who, hey, look, our best recruits are what? They're actually offensive linemen, for instance. Whereas it seemed the best recruits from Butch Jones coming in, it was always a corner, a wide receiver, which I want all of those guys, and I want big-time, next-level NFL difference makers. But you got to start up front, and that's the code that Butch Jones was never able to really crack there in Knoxville. So, again, I'm fairly certain that it's the Tennessee fan base looking down at what's what and properly assessing and realizing that we do have a guy that is more built around fundamentals and basics, and we're really building this thing on concrete. Or it could just be that you hated Butch. So maybe we're back to that. That is my closing argument. Brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara & Associates. Wherever you're at in the south part of the country, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shannara & Associates. Dan Matthews, how are you today?
I am not breaking character here.
Okay.
Because we are 24/7, 365 college football here. But this time of year, I don't think that there is any way that you can go about doing our business without melding college football and college basketball together. Did you have a chance yesterday to catch the Michigan State-Bradley game and the
Bradley
situation?
Yeah, Bradley had him on the ropes, and then I saw Tom Izzo lose his mind.
That's
and then
exactly where I'm going.
Spartans went on a run.
Right, Tom Izzo yelling at a player, and then now everybody asking him a question. Oh my gosh, how can you do that? And then I'm even seeing on social media people saying, oh, the optics of this are so bad. Why are the optics of this so bad? Tell me, why are the optics of this so
bad?
Because
it's 2019.
Okay, so then if we're going to yell at Tom Izzo, are we going to yell at Nick Saban for when somebody, I'm trying to remember who it was for Alabama, I call it the slow boil, Nick Saban, of there was a penalty on special teams, and he kind of at first is asking him, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And then why are we so stupid?
It was either Julio or Amari Cooper. They had 12 on the field.
Right.
Absolutely.
So Nick Saban has done it.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt has done it.
You see what he did to A.J. McCarron after he threw that pick when he was McElroy's backup? It was the butt smack seen around the world. But here's the thing, and you ask, you know, why? Well, because it's 2019, and the attitude from people who have never most often never played sports. I'm not talking about...
It's not most often, it is. It's always often.
Physically assaulting a kid? No, that's not what I'm after or advocating. But there are times when the only way the kid's going to learn is when you do it in a very clear, forceful voice.
Well, I mean, that is exactly it, because you can't just coddle everybody. I've always been told that the best coaches are the ones who know their personnel. We use the saying all the time, know the room. Well, in this case, if you're a coach, you know that there are certain guys who respond better to yelling, and there are certain guys who respond better to being told in a clear voice. Whatever it might be, that is the way that you need to reach your team. So for Tom Izzo, I have zero issues with what he did, because you're right. It is everything short of doing the Rush Probst headbutting somebody or grabbing him by the face mask, or in this case, grabbing him by the jersey or poking a finger in his chest or whatever it might be. Those are issues you cannot do. But if you're yelling at somebody, give me a break and get off your high horse, people.
Yeah, about the last vestige of old school coaching. And I want to go ahead and tell you that, you know, the Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, Bear Bryant era, that was physical assault. That absolutely was. There were times when, and in fact, I'll say most times, it was way over the line. But again, as we evolve, as we go through time, hopefully some of those attitudes change as well, and we get better understanding. And I'm talking about things like not just the Junction Boys. I'm talking about in the 80s when I played, no water at practice, and you could never take your helmet off, and you couldn't take a knee. So basically from the 2 hours and 15 minutes we were out there every day, helmet on, no water, standing the entire time in Georgia sun in August, because otherwise you weren't tough. So understand, I'm on the side of evolving attitudes and enlightenment, but in the heat of athletic competition, you're going to have a moment of disagreement or a moment of screw up or a moment of losing your mind just in the heat of the battle. It just happens. It's sports. We're keeping score, which means somebody's going to lose, and I don't want it to be me. And why did you call that timeout or make that turnover? Or why didn't you call a timeout? Or why did you snap the football when we only had 9 other guys on the field? That is just normal stuff for anybody who's ever played sports, coached sports, et cetera. So, all right, Dan, appreciate your contributions today. David behind the glass making everything work. Thank you as well. And again, Jeff Cameron, Chris Walsh, David Lake, all the guests for today and for the week. All right, so wrapping it up today, wrapping it up for the week. Give me a little bit of a break. This time, 2 days. Recharge those batteries. I promise I'll be back on Monday with more college football conversation right here on The Chuck Oliver Show.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contract. Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. With our guarantee and transfer service, you'll never pay another timeshare maintenance bill again, and your contract will be terminated. You can begin saving today, even if you've tried another company to get rid of your timeshare. Call and see if we can help. At Resort Release, we only accept a payment after an agreement has been made to get you out of your timeshare. Make this completely free call and learn how this honest Midwest-based company can help anyone, anywhere, legally get out of their timeshare nightmare guaranteed. Call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. That's 800-712-8005.
Results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wall & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wall has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wall, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wall has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation.
800-783-1759. That's 800-783-1759. 800-783-1759.